Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. We're flying north up the Hudson River Valley, and we're going to be speaking with Stuart Somerville, who is the air shows and event manager at the old Rhinebeck Aerodrome. Stu, are you there?
I am here, yes.
How you doing? Where is the Rhinebeck Aerodrome located, for people
that
don't know?
Well, it's kind of out of the way off of Route 9, but we can be accessed off of Route 9 on Stone Church Road, which is about, I would say, a mile north of the intersection of 9 and 9G
in what Rhinebeck.
Town? In Rhinebeck.
Okay. Yes. And Rhinebeck's a beautiful community. If somebody's going to be up for the weekend, that's a great, you know, place to stay.
Lots to do in Rhinebeck,
yes.
That's for sure.
Yes. So you, how long you guys been around? You've been quite a while.
The Aerodrome, actually, the Aerodrome was founded, let's say it started in 1958 by a gentleman by the name of Cole Palin, who was an aviation enthusiast as a young man. He was in the very tail end of World War II. He was in the Battle of the Bulge, you know, towards the end of the war, and he was a plain old infantryman. The war ended. He was discharged from the Army, and he came back to the United States and went to the Roosevelt School of Aviation on Long Island, where they had a one-year program at the time where he could get his mechanics license and his pilot's license, and he would be in hog heaven, so to speak. Well, what happened was when Mr. Palin was at Roosevelt Field, there was a barn on the field at Roosevelt Field where they kept the maintenance machines to mow the airport, the graders, and equipment like that. And in the very back of that building were six original World War I era aircraft. And as we know, the Roosevelt Field School, there's a shopping mall there now. At the time, the Roosevelt Field School was closing, and the property was being sold to these developers who eventually put the mall up. Well, those aircraft went up for auction, and Mr. Palin bid his life savings on these six antiquated aircraft, and lo and behold, he won the auction. shortly after that, he was told he had a month. He had a month to get the aircraft out of there and up here to Rhinebeck. Well, he brought them to his parents' chicken farm in Red Hook, uh-huh. And one by one, he pulled them up with old automobiles and whatnot. And if you could imagine crossing the Whitestone Bridge with towing an antique aircraft one at a time, well, lo and behold, he brought them up here to Dutchess County to his parents' farm. Then the current location where we are now went up for sale, and Mr. Palin bought it, and he hacked out a runway by hand.
Wow.
He had a little bit of help with it, and that's how the old Rhinebeck Aerodrome started. He started getting one plane going, two planes going, and a strange and wonderful thing started to happen. People would see these aircraft flying in the area, and people started to come to find out where these old birds were nesting overnight. And he got more and more of the aircraft going, and he started flying them once a month informally for the people that showed up. And the beginnings of our air shows is quite a great story, too, because as these people were coming up, Mr. Palin would put a silk top hat on the wing of one of the airplanes, and people would throw money in because they appreciated what he was doing. And to make a long story short, I guess, or it's shorter, that was the beginnings of the Rhinebeck Aerodrome.
Wow. We should all say an extra prayer for Cole Palin. That is
definitely
amazing.
Definitely. Well, you know, it's very interesting because the air shows really didn't take hold until the early 1960s when the Charles Schulz comic strip Peanuts came out,
okay.
And which featured Snoopy and the Red Baron.
Yeah.
And once that got popular, the aerodrome really, really exploded. We got a lot of attention. There were old articles. We were featured in National Geographic magazine, and all of that helped to build the aerodrome to what it is today.
So now what kind of collection do you have? Because it's grown over the years, right?
Oh,
from
my,
him
it has.
Up
yes,
a
indeed.
Planes?
Yeah. Well, you know, the collection features 50... maybe 60 aircraft, depending on what you call an aircraft, because to us, a basket of parts is an airplane. It's just not assembled yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we have those aircraft in the collection. Many of them are static in our museum adjacent from the airfield. But we do maintain anywhere from 12 to 15 of them in flying conditions for the air shows, which gets to be, you know, it's very expensive work, it's very specialized work, it's very time-consuming work, but so we're kept busy keeping those aircraft in the air.
You've extended also into, don't you have cars and motorcycles?
Oh, my, we have a tremendous, we have perhaps 15 to 20 vintage cars, ranging from a 1903 Brush automobile. We have a 1911 Baker Electric that is in the final stages of a beautiful reconstruction job, restoration job by our wonderful car guys here. All the way up to, we have a 1927 Garden Variety Model T, and
wow.
everything in between.
And sure. They all work? Or they...
Most of the artifacts you see here are operational.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the cars are awaiting restoration, but there's only, you know, a couple of guys who generously volunteer their time. So we do what we can with the resources we have and the manpower that we have.
Well,
also,
you've got some really mechanical people working up there when you can get a plane flying and all. And from what I understand, you know, you get like little groupies, you know, teenage kids that come and start hanging around, then learn how to do stuff, and then they help you, right?
Definitely, you know, and I really have to say that's how I started.
Oh, really?
My father brought me here. I guess I can say the year in September of 1969 as
wow.
a young boy, and my heart never really left. I did go away to college for a number of years to get educated, and you know, life happens, and you get married, and you
sure.
have a family. But I came back after 21 years of teaching English, and so I'm here in this position now and absolutely loving what I'm doing. And yes, if I may, there are a lot of opportunities for volunteers here. We can always use help with the simple and mundane tasks of you know, maintaining the grounds and raking and cleaning and things like that. But we also have opportunities for folks who have specialized skills. And I must say that these people with the specialized knowledge and these old aircraft and these old automobiles, those skills are disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
And we do what we can to, you know, increase our knowledge, you know, more and more and more as our needs arise. But we're always looking for the people that can give us a hand.
Yep. And even the ones that don't, you know, they can learn, too, if they're interested in watching. And there might be jobs they can do to work with somebody, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I have to say, when I was when I first returned back here after my teaching career was over, I had a bit of a shade tree mechanic type of skill, but I fell in love with the Model Ts here, the Model T Fords, and we have seven of them here, and we have I taught myself the ins and outs of the Model T, and I'm the one that does the specialized babbitting work now and machine work for the Model T engines, and we don't have to source that out anymore, and that's just part of the fun of being here is having the opportunity to learn these specialized, very much artisan skills that have disappeared.
So you do specialized machine work right there, huh?
As much as we can. We are somewhat limited by the machines we we have in the machine shop. Yeah. But I will say this: there is certainly the knowledge to do that work here. Where we fall short is in the actual machines that we have to do. We can do simple mill, not simple, but we can do light milling and some machine work in the machine shop we have now. But the more specialized stuff, like turning pistons out of, say, billet steel and things like that, that's the kind of stuff we have to farm out.
Yeah, I'm amazed that, that's really incredible. Because I was going to say, where do you get the parts for doing these things? So you got to really be kind of a jack of all trades to figure out how to get the job done.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know what I will say about that is I want to say there's a brotherhood of antiquers, both in the car community and in the aircraft community. We know just about everybody in the world who is involved in, in antique restorations and things like that. So there's a network we can reach out to, and we do that very, very frequently. But the parts that we're looking for are disappearing. Mm-hmm. To give a shout out to the crew that is here. Now, there is such talent here that very often we can make our own parts. But that even that's getting to be more and more difficult as you don't have a model to work from. Yeah. You know, there are certain things. The internet is a wonderful thing, and we can find plans and things like that. But you know, you're working with thousandths of an inch of tolerances in doing machining work, and sometimes you need a little bit more than a blueprint to get those readings from, but we do the best we can.
Oh yeah, very. And anybody listening that might have any equipment they want to donate, they should give you a call. Probably.
No, absolutely. We'd love to talk to you.
Oh yeah, fascinating stuff. So, in addition to, you've got this all these collections. You do a couple of shows, too, air shows and things. Maybe tell us about your weekend lineups that you do.
Okay, very good. Well, the museum is open now. The air shows do not start until the weekend of June 15th and 16th. We fly from the middle of June, and this year we will be flying until October, the third weekend in October. And we have two different shows. The Saturday show is what we call our History of Flight show, where we fly our Pioneer era aircraft, our Curtis D. Pusher, our 1909 Blériot, our 1911 Hanriot. We hop the field with them, and we fly the aircraft from what we call the Lindbergh era. Charles Lindbergh flew the Atlantic in 1927, and when he landed in Paris, that started a whole revolution of interest in what we know today as civil aviation or light sport aviation, and we have a lot of aircraft from that period that we feature in the Saturday show. We also do what is called a World War One teaser, where we fly one of our World War One aircraft in the History of Flight show. Now the Sunday show is the World War One show. It features dogfighting. We have a melodrama with the dastardly Black Baron of Rhinebeck and the hero Sir Percy Goodfellow and Trudy Truelove, who is the heroine, and the Black Baron tries to interfere with Sir Percy and his love, Trudy Truelove, and there's a, a very low comedy melodrama involved in that, but we have a great time putting it on. Everybody that comes to see it absolutely loves the show, and we encourage everybody to come out and see it because it's a lot of fun.
Did that grow out of the Snoopy
was
that before?
I can't say it did. I will give a shout out again to Mr. Palin for the brainchild of the melodrama.
Yeah.
Mr. Palin loved reading the old pulp novels, to speak, of deeds of daring do in the sky.
Yeah.
And he absolutely loved like short silent films and things like that. And out of his mind, virtually, came these characters.
Yep.
And Mr. Palin had a wonderful sense of humor, and we do all kinds of terrible things to Trudy here. We tie her to an airplane, we the Black Baron ties her to an airplane, and the airplane flies off, and we drop her on the ground. I'm talking about a dummy here.
Yes.
I don't want, I should have made that clear.
Yes.
But we do all kinds of terrible things to Trudy, and it's all, the Black Baron simply wants a kiss from Trudy True Love, and he doesn't get it, and that's what makes him so nasty. If he would just kiss her, all this drama would be taken care of, but she refuses to kiss the Black Baron.
It's interesting, when you talk about the imagination, that really we need to get our kids to have more free time where they can dream and do imagination, and maybe stay away from the video games and
some of
the garbage on TV,
I'm very, very glad you brought that up, because and I tell anybody who I talk to, and many people who are in the nonprofit and museum industry, also the directors that I come in contact with in my daily business, all say the same thing. It's incredibly difficult, and this is by no means a criticism either. It's just the beast of the times, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We really encourage young people to put down the electronics just for a little while, and come on out to go to a museum and get involved with a museum in some way, and learn the skills and the artisan skills that were involved in making these wonderful things happen, whether you're talking about cars, whether you're talking about airplanes, whether you're talking about old ships or wagons, mm-hmm. or whatever. There's a heritage there that is disappearing, and it concerns us here at the Aerodrome a little bit. We do have a wonderful core of young people that come here. They're so dedicated to the Aerodrome. They work so hard. They volunteer their time, and many of them go on to specialized careers in aviation.
Mm-hmm.
But those numbers are starting to give us a little concern, because they're going down. But the flip side of that is I mentioned before, as we're talking about the machine work we do in our shops, the internet is a wonderful, wonderful tool. But you can use the internet to learn about the past as well,
mm-hmm.
as well as doing, living in the here and now and enjoying electronics for what it does, instant this and instant that. Facebook and all the social media out there is wonderful. It has done wonders for us here in terms of marketing at the Aerodrome. But we would like to see young folks, and maybe young adults too, use it to learn about what we do here.
Yeah.
And that will keep us going.
Yep. And I tell you, parents, you don't just dump the kid. Do it as a father, son, or mother, daughter, or whatever. Go with the kid. And,
absolutely.
And you develop the common interests, and you develop. You might have some vets, too, that are, have some time, maybe, that they would be great inspirations,
We love the veterans here.
Yeah.
In fact, Veterans Weekend is Saturday and Sunday, the 15th and 16th of June.
Oh.
So if there's any veterans out there, we'd love to have them here.
Why don't you go through your events? Because that's the other component to what we want to develop here, is you've got fantastic events scheduled during your season.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. As I said, the air show opens the 15th and 16th of June. That is our veterans. And I'm highlighting here because there's something going on almost every week. But the 15th and 16th of June, the air show's opened, and we'll be starting with our Saturday History of Flight show and our Sunday World War One show. But I also want to mention our First Responders Weekend. And First Responders is Saturday and Sunday, June 29th and 30th. We have a very, very, very long tradition here at the Aerodrome of recognizing our first responders. And I have to say, we are delighted this year because the New York State Police are joining us in our First Responders Weekend. We're going to have a recruitment tent from the New York State Police. And I'm very proud to say that we're working hard to get the New York State mounted unit here that everybody can see. We're going to have a color guard from the state police. We're going to present the colors for the national anthem, and it would be really, really nice to have the mounted unit joining the color guard as well. I also want to mention one of our highlights, and one of our very popular events is Kids Fly Weekend. Ooh. That is Saturday, August 17th, Sunday, and Sunday the 18th. That's an opportunity, and you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is an opportunity for young folks to come out and you know, learn what makes an airplane fly, see some of the pioneer aircraft. One of our boards of trustees, Mike Fisher, will be putting on a program for the young folks. They'll be able to build a model, The show, the kids will be able to fly their models out on the field in front of everybody. That will be really cool.
Oh, wow. How old should the kids be for that? What age is this?
You know what? We would probably welcome kids of every age to that. Yeah. We don't like to turn anybody away, so everyone is welcome to that.
And should they sign up in advance, or you just show up?
You can just show up. We do have advanced ticket sales on our website, www.oldrhinebeck.org. You can buy tickets in advance. And I also have to say, for Kids Fly Weekend, our good friends, the Hudson Valley Renegades in Fishkill, their mascot, Rascal, will be here to help us celebrate the kids in aviation. It's going to be a great time for that, too. Then on September 2nd, we will be having our second annual Black Barons Oktoberfest. And that's it's on Labor Day, and it's a good time for folks to come out. We'll be doing some flying that day. There won't be a formal air show. But we invite everybody to come out and have a good time, see the museum, and have some really great food.
Great. Now, you've got a big gala you're going to do. That's one of the reasons I called you, because I wanted to make sure everybody had time to plan to come. And it's coming up really soon. Can you give us a little overview? We only got about 2-3 minutes. So.
Okay, May 18th. Okay. May 18th is our Spirit of the Aerodrome Gala, and this year our theme is A Night at the Museum, and we do have sponsorships available. That is also on our website as well. The gala will start at 6 o'clock in the evening and go until 11. We have some great entertainment lined up for everybody. We have some tremendous auction items that we hope everybody will bid on, and we can do very well that way. And it's just a great time. I do want to mention who our honorees are this year. We are honoring Mark Enderby of Balsa USA, who make some of the best radio control airplane kits in the world. We are honoring our sponsors, Williams Lumber, Sandy Williams, Kim Williams, and Kelly Williams, of longtime supporters of the Rhinebeck Aerodrome, and our dear, dear friend Heather Howley from Independent Helicopters over in New Windsor, in Newburgh, at Stewart Airport. Very, very great supporters for us. We love them dearly, and we're giving them a big party and a shout-out this year on the 18th of May.
Sounds good. So they can get tickets on your website?
Yes,
for that.
Yes. If you go to the website, you can be guided right towards gala. The events and the tickets and sponsorships are available, yes.
Fantastic. Well, that's a real worthwhile cause. And,
well, it is indeed, yes.
Yeah, and to see the collection, it's just fantastic. I mean, it used to be just, you know, like one building. Now you get these other buildings. I mean, it's
right.
Really grown. And when somebody comes, even on the weekends, you have a place for people to eat, and is there a gift shop?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Our gift shop is beautiful. We have all kinds of artifacts, from model kits to books, sweatshirts and T-shirts and all that kind of fare.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do have a canteen that is open, and we both boast some of the best hamburgers in the Hudson Valley here at Old Rhinebeck. So come on out.
Very, very good. Well, it's something that I think everybody in the Hudson Valley should see. And when you have relatives over for special occasions, take a ride over on the weekend and show everybody the aerodrome. It's not that far. It really
isn't.
Yeah,
and please sign up for a biplane ride, too. That's one of the great features of the Old Rhinebeck Aerodrome. We have a 1929 D-25 New Standard biplane that is doing today what it was designed to do in 1929. We can seat up to four passengers, including the pilot, and biplane rides are beautiful. You'll fly from the field here at the aerodrome. You'll fly over the beautiful community of Red Hook and Rhinebeck out to the Hudson River, see the bridge, and we will put you down so gently, even the grass wouldn't object.
That's a great Father's Day gift.
Yes, indeed.
Give them a gift certificate, and then they can come when you're open. Now, just give us a quick, we're wrapping up here. Give us a phone number if somebody wants to bring a bus group, senior group, and they should really call ahead and not just show up.
Absolutely. If you call 845-752-3200, ask for Stu Somerville. I will be happy to make accommodations for you.
Okay, and you do tours for them?
We can do tours if they like, and they'll see. Tours are very popular here. We can give you a tour of the facility if you like, but we really encourage everybody to come for the air shows.
That sounds good.
As well.
When people come on the weekend, that's a self-guided thing, or do you have a regular?
Right. Yep. If a large group is coming, we do like them to make reservations with us first so we can accommodate a large group and provide a guided tour of them. But if you're just a family coming for the air shows, please come in and enjoy the grounds.
Okay. Well, Stu, we really appreciate you coming on, and I hope everybody checks you out for this season. And
thank you, Marietta.
Best wishes for all your fundraisers and special events.
God bless. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. That's a wrap, folks. I hope you'll check out Old Rhinebeck Aerodrome. It's really worth a trip. Take care. Have a good week.